at alkavision.com today.
Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. We've been talking about Gitmo and what's going to happen there, of course, with our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott. Man, we've been talking about this for a very long time. I think since the beginning of America Tonight. So we're going to find out what's going on with Gitmo. Are those military tribunals going to kick back into action? That's what I think I heard out of D.C. But who better to get the skinny from than Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News? Victoria, that is pretty big news, because that was one of the things that the president said when he was running. I'm going to close down Gitmo. And now, if my math is right, it's been a couple of years and that hasn't happened yet. So what's the deal there? They're going to kick back into action, like I said, with the trials?
That's right. There was a 2-year-old order halting new military charges against detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And as of today, President Obama has permitted a resumption of military trials under rules that he says provide adequate rights for defendants. But this does admittedly admit really a failure, for now anyway, of his pledge to close Guantanamo Bay. I think he realized once he got into power how very difficult it was going to be to close Guantanamo. Now, he says in this statement he released today that he's committed to closing Guantanamo Bay someday, and also to charging some terrorist suspects in civilian criminal courts. He also signed an executive order today, and it sets out new rules requiring a review of all detainees' status within a year and every 3 years after that to determine whether they remain a threat to Americans. And it also requires compliance with the Geneva Conventions and the international treaty that bans torture and inhumane treatment.
Well, so bring it on. I mean, this looks like this is going to go all the way through. I'm sure a lot of you will want to call in and talk about that on America Tonight. Remember, 800-259-5791. Jay Carney, you were there, the White House spokesperson, talking about not ruling out military intervention in Libya. I thought I heard wrong. What was the scoop on that?
Well, I mean, he never got specific about any of this, because mostly what he was talking about was not ruling anything out. And he wouldn't really be drawn into any specifics at all. It was all very vague. He certainly would not, he didn't say anything like that we were going to have a ground war or an air war. It was nothing like that. But he was just really making it very clear that all options were open with regard to Libya, and was very, very clear that, basically watch out.
Yeah. Speaking of watch out, here we go again. Extension, 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 March 18th. That's the end of the current budget extension. What's happening there? What's the conversation on the Hill like?
Well, there was a lot of trash talk on the Sunday shows yesterday, of course, as you can imagine. But basically, the work starts on Tuesday, as it usually does in Congress. And in the Senate, there are going to be a couple of votes. Test votes, basically, when they finally get around to them, probably late Tuesday afternoon or maybe in the evening. And these will be on the Republican and Democratic proposals on the budget cuts, the $6.5 billion from the Democrats and the $61 from the Republicans. The idea being proposed by Majority Leader Reid is to see, can we get 60 votes on either one? And the answer will probably be no. So when they discover that, which they probably will, then he can turn around and say to the people in the House and the people in the Senate, look, we can't get 60 votes, so you've got to make a deal. And then he hopes everyone's going to go away and make a deal. Will they? Probably not.
Yeah, so another version of let's make a deal, but as you said, probably no one picks the right tour if we're playing that game. Mea culpas, boy, there have been a lot of them in politics and other walks of life, too, certainly. But we've seen it with Vitter and others. This time, Senator John Ensign, this has been a long time brewing now. I think it's been a couple of years now. And he, I guess, talked before the Senate body and said he was sorry for sinning or something like that.
Yes, Senator John Ensign of Nevada said there are consequences to sin. And when you're in a leadership role, those consequences can affect a lot of other people. And he said this at a press conference standing alongside his wife and children, so the children were subjected to this. I've come to the most difficult decision I've ever made in my life, but at this point in my life, I have to put my family first. And it was interesting. He said, I had totally planned until last week running for re-election. I'd reached a conclusion. I couldn't put my family through it. It just weighed so heavily on my mind. And we should bear in mind, the private and public polling showed that Republican Representative Dean Heller was trouncing Ensign in primary matchup.
Right. So it was an easy way for him to get out of it, I guess.
Yeah, but also the ethics inquiry into Ensign over the affair and the payoff, much more about the payoff, has really been heating up. I mean, I think Senator Tom Coburn has now been interviewed twice.
Yeah, so it's a good time to try to duck out.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks for your insights. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, so you heard the conversation there talking about Ensign and the fact that he held a big-time conference, a press conference. He was kind of ducking the media for the most part, and this has really been ongoing, as I said, for the last couple of years. By the fact that he is bowing out of the race, he helps Republicans because then they get, as Victoria mentioned, Dean Heller as their choice, and the Democrats will put up somebody else, and he has a better chance of beating the Democratic candidate. If it were Ensign, forget about it. I don't think he would have even gotten it anyway, and he realized that. Plus, as she mentioned, the pressure, the ethics pressure was raining down on him on purpose. They were tightening the screws because they knew that Ensign hanging on was going to screw the Republican Party, and that's, I think, pretty much what it was. Politics is as usual. He was the one who got himself in the messy situation in the first place, so this was a way to extract him because the numbers were pretty clear. A January poll that they did that I went back and looked at showed that Dean Heller easily beat Ensign in a primary, or would, 52-34%. And an earlier poll showed the same thing. There's absolutely no way that Ensign could have hung on in this current state with everything that happened. So also, taking it a step further in what we were just discussing there, the decision now on Guantanamo is a huge decision. The president doing a complete reversal. In fact, the quote was, broaden our ability to bring terrorists to justice. That's what the president said. You never thought that would leave his lips, did you? Remember on the campaign trail, I counted it probably at least 150 times. Gitmo is terrible, terrorists, the way the world views us through those eyes, all that other sort of stuff. So it just could not happen. And now they're going to, once again, kick in those military tribunals. Obama went a little bit further and said that he believes that the American system of justice is a key part of the arsenal of the war against Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, and they're going to continue to draw on all aspects of the justice system, yada, 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 yada. So it's getting kind of interesting, isn't it? Between this and Congressman Pete King from New York, the Republican chair of the House Committee on Homeland Security, and his push to go after Islamic terrorists in the country who are being radicalized. That happens on Thursday. It's going to be a big week for the overall terrorist issue.
To listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-223. For the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We were talking about this on a previous show, and it's not a surprise to me. I know so many people who do not even get 4 hours sleep a night, and it's back to back to back to back nights. Some of them are in politics, some of them are in business, some of them are just moms who can't get back to sleep when their young children wake them up or their babies wake them up. And it's scary stuff when you start to read some of the statistics of the comparisons, what it means, like in this Pew study when they say 4 out of 5 teenagers, for example, sleep with their phones on or have it right next to them in the bed. You wonder if that keeps them up. I think across the board, when you have baby boomers who are 46 to 64 years old who watch TV before they crash at night, and so then you think of those habits that have formed. What are we doing to our bodies? What are we doing to ourselves? It's tough, the lack of sleep deprivation. It's got to be also dangerous, I think, with distracted driving or just maybe even falling asleep at the wheel if you do that too much. So I thought it'd be fun to have Dr. Jill Wagner on. She is a family practice physician in Dallas, and we welcome her to the show. Doc, thanks so much for stopping by ATN.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Have you seen, before we dive into some of the specifics, in your practice and all the years that you've seen people, have you seen it get worse? Does it seem like people are getting less sleep, even though we know we're killing ourselves?
Absolutely. I think I've been practicing for 20 years, and over the past 20 years, I have watched, particularly as, we got more gadgets, and we started to move more to the suburbs. I've really noticed that there are a lot of people who have sleeping disorders. And I, since I have been practicing for 20 years, I'm starting to see, women, more that are in, their 50s, menopausal age. And there comes some more sleeping disorders. So I'm definitely seeing more of it.
Yeah, so technology, because I was describing the situation where you have teenagers that are texting all the time, and even adults. So we're just, wow, we're glued to the iPhone, whatever it is you have, the Android. It doesn't matter what kind of device it is. It just means that's what it is. Do you warn people about that? If you see someone that just, man, they really looked exhausted, and they come in and they say, Doc, I just can't lose weight. I'm doing everything. I'm just drinking tea. I'm not eating anything fattening. I swear I'm not eating tacos. Do you start to ask them about, well, what about the sleep patterns, and do you find that correlates?
Yes. Whenever I have someone who comes in talking about things like fatigue and, obesity, they're like, I'm just, Doc, I am absolutely exhausted. My first question to them is, how are you sleeping? How many hours of sleep are you getting a night? What do you do right before you go to sleep? I am just stunned by the number of people who sleep with their telephones, not just teenagers, but, professionals, moms, people who think that they cannot go to sleep and sleep for 6-8 hours a night without having their cell phone right by their bed or their BlackBerry or whatever that is, because something is going to happen during the night that they absolutely have to know about. And it's amazing to me because, in medicine, we have to live, forever with, it used to be a pager, now it's our telephones. And I think if that is not a job requirement, why on earth would you do that? But it's just part of our society now.
Yeah, I agree. Do you advise people, hey, why don't you just kind of try to not maybe put it away on your bureau or put it a little bit further away?
Put it in another room.
Yeah.
It is really okay if somebody cannot get in touch with you. really. If it is a major issue, 9 times out of 10, you'll learn about it or find out about it in the morning. It really will be okay. I mean, there are very few things that you must know in the middle of the night. And so when you really assess the reality of it, most people say, you're absolutely correct. The other thing that people don't realize is that just that flickering light stimulates your brain. And so you don't really get that deep sleep that you need to because you're aroused by the flickering light.
Really? And that all the phones have that?
Right. That and the same thing with television. When you sleep with the television on in your room, even if you mute the television, the light is flickering, so it stimulates your brain. So those are things that when you say to people, they really haven't thought about because, like I said, it's so much a part of our society. And so when you start to have those discussions, then it becomes a reality or they become aware of it. And so a lot of people are able to change their sleeping habits just by having an open discussion about it.
Yeah, there you go. Is it? And it's men and women, right?
It's men and women and teenagers and just everybody. It really is an issue. Many of us who are professionals, now there's so much to do. You drive for 30, 40 minutes or you ride the train or you ride the bus or, the commute is long and, you have children who are in a gazillion activities. And so you do all of that. You run by and get something to eat. And then you still have, whatever you brought home from the office to work on. And it's midnight before you get to bed. You've got to be up at 5, because you've got to work out. I mean, it goes on and on. So at some point, we have to stop it. We have to draw a line and say, okay, enough. I need to go to sleep. We are still human beings.
Yeah, there you go. How much sleep, Doc, do you need? How much sleep do we really need? I mean, this might not be realistic to get 9-10 hours, even 8 hours.
If you can get a good, solid 6 to 8 hours, but if you get 6 hours as an adult, most of us function fine on 6 hours. But that's sleeping, not bedtime. Where it's good quality sleep, where the room is as dark as possible, and you've turned off everything. If you get a good 6 hours, then that's good. And children and young people still need their, 8 to 10 hours of sleep. They function better.
Yeah, no kidding. And you definitely have seen this. What I asked you the first, one of the first things we talked about is the weight gain. You're seeing people, we keep talking about obesity in this country. And I'm a lay person. You're the doctor. But is there this correlation to the not sleeping thing?
There is. And it's actually a catch 22. When you, are overweight, you don't sleep well. And if you don't sleep well, you have a greater tendency to gain weight. And we think that that's multifactorial. You know, it is that when people are sleep deprived, then they are stressed. And when you are stressed, many people eat more. Also, you will have certain hormones released in your body that stimulates appetite and that kind of thing. So, you know, it is just kind of a cycle that goes round and round.
Yeah, no kidding. How about, I see all these things for energy drinks and keep you awake, and when we're talking about people having to do, like you were mentioning, someone working until midnight and then they had to get five because they have to work out. But what are we doing to ourselves with caffeine?
We really have to be careful. I mean, I'm starting to see people, young people who have arrhythmias or palpitations, you know, where their heart will beat irregularly because of the massive amounts of caffeine that they're getting in all kinds of things. You know, it used to be that you were well aware if you were doing something caffeinated. And if it was a mega dose of caffeine, you knew that. But a lot of people don't realize how much caffeine they're getting in energy drinks and those kinds of things. And when they do it, over and over, you know, they do two or three a day, and you know, they just don't realize the effect that it has on the body, and that also contributes to the inability to sleep. So
yes,
you have so much in your system. I had a young mom who came in, and she was in her 30s. And she said, I can't sleep. And so I said, well, what is your day like? And after we got through with the big, you know, gigantic super caffeinated coffee and her, all of the drinks that she had, three or four during the day, I was like, of course you can't sleep. If you'll just cut out two or three of those, your sleep will improve. And it did.
Yeah, there you go. And that you're talking about those palpitations and stuff, that sometimes people think that they're anxious at work, that they can't, it's something to do with the work, but it's probably that's affecting them.
Well, you definitely, if you're having some of those issues, if you're having some things like inability concentrating, if you're having some anxiety, if you're having some palpitations, if you're having any of those things, the first thing you need to look at is, A, what are you consuming? And then, B, am I sleeping? And how many hours am I getting? Those kinds of things, they sound very simple. And you think that, of course, people think about those things, but we don't. And so I think it's great that you're having this conversation so people will say, okay, let me assess this. What am I really doing to myself?
All right, Dr. Jill has spoken. Are you listening? People out there, America Tonight, I want all you guys, when the show's over, of course, to go to sleep and get that sleep at least 6 hours. You were a delight, Dr. Jill Wagner. Thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
In your life, have you had to say you're sorry, and did you really mean it? Or did you do it just because you had to do a little CYA, whether it was at the job or it was in a relationship or something else? Maybe your best buddy, somehow you jacked with him, and you had to do a phony baloney apology so you could get back in good, because you're part of the crew that has the season tickets to the NFL games, and you don't want to be booted. So at some point in your life, I guarantee all of you listening to America Tonight, all of you have apologized for something. Mea culpas can be really, really phony, really, really heartfelt, or really, really unnecessary. I want you to listen to this mea culpa. With family and friends present, here's what Senator John Ensign from Nevada, who is bowing out of politics, had to say.
At this point in my life, I have to put my family first. Because I have learned through the mistake that I made, there are consequences to sin. And when you're in a leadership role, those consequences can affect a lot of people. I cannot express how truly sorry I am for the pain that I have caused everyone.
Okay, so he's saying, you know, I'm sorry for the pain I caused everybody. We've heard this before, haven't we? Governor of South Carolina How about David Vitter, Senator David Vitter from Louisiana, fooling around with a prostitute, getting caught? So that's the key, is the getting caught thing. Elliot Spitzer, governor of New York, who blew it all with client, what was she, six or nine? I don't know. I think she was client number six. Anyway, and now, of course, he's on CNN. He has a show, a talk show. But Elliot Spitzer, I felt, was definitely, it wasn't heartfelt. Now, his wife is still with him. Vitter's wife still with him. And Vitter's still in politics. In the case of Ensign, it was so ugly and twisted. Because Ensign was the guy who fooled around with his campaign manager's wife. And she actually was part of the deal. I mean, she was actually helping his campaign. So that's where the whole ethics thing especially got blurry. Who's making money? What's happening? Who owes payments? Then was he blackmailed? Which his family says he was blackmailed. And the shock and the disgrace and the fall for Ensign has been kind of slow, actually. And what really pushed this along was the fact that he didn't want to face any charges. He didn't want to deal with the ethics thing. And because he was getting pressure from the Republican Party, too, because he was getting shellacked. In the primary, the guy who would have just killed him was Dean Heller. So this is a difficult thing. I've been through a lot, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know what? Give me a break here. It didn't seem heartfelt to me, just a necessity. That's what I think. And you think politics, boy, there have been a whole lot of mea culpas, haven't there? And then some where they should have, right? See, what happened in February is the Ethics Committee really pushed that investigation. And this was the whole thing of the aftermath of the affair with the woman's name was Cynthia Hampton, and she was the wife of really his top campaigner guy, top aide, if you will, Doug Hampton. And this was the part where it got tricky. Suddenly, Doug Hampton gets a lucrative, and I mean lucrative, beyond six figures, and then some lobbying job. So how did he get that job? Did Ensign use his political clout, make a few calls? Gee, I wonder. He knew that was it. Now, thinking of another senator, remember the whole thing with Larry Craig, how can we forget? Every once in a while, a comedian will dig back in his bag of tricks and pull that one out because of the whole thing in the Minneapolis airport with him allegedly trying to pick up a man in the restroom. And then trotting out in front of the microphones and saying that that's not true and da-da-da-da. Actually not even addressing it directly. Not doing that. But if you remember, in the case of Craig, the committee was investigating after Craig said that he wasn't going to try to get reelected. In the case of Ensign, they're not going to continue to investigate him. So this whole retirement thing, well, I don't think they will anyway. I think they're just going to drop it. It doesn't mean it's not for sure, because there are some in Washington who think you still have to try to prosecute this guy. But I think it's going to be dropped, and that's what Ensign was looking for. I mean, the Justice Department already dropped its investigation, so there's no federal charges there. And this is a guy who was pretty popular, too. He was elected to the Senate in 2000. He did a couple of terms in the House, and he was a rising star in the Republican Party. Some people even thought maybe there's a chance he could become a presidential contender. But not now, certainly. I mean, this is it. This is it for Ensign. So now it makes it easier for the Republicans, and it's just a question of what happens with this whole ethics thing now at this point. But it made me think of what I said, basically, the mea culpas that celebrities make, politicians make, business people who are about to be crucified make. And you know there's some lawyer in the background that says, okay, now you got to apologize. You got to get out there. You got to get in front of this thing. You got to get out there. You got to say something. That's, you know, like Elliot Spitzer, he knew they had him cold. So that was all he could do was get out of there. He could just get his wife to stand by him, just do the little news conference and move on and bow out of New York politics. But certainly he's not the first guy to be in that situation. It seems like lately there have been a lot of politicians who have found themselves in that spot. But like I said, also entertainers, too, when they get caught in certain situations. Like, for example, the tattooed man, Sandra Bullock's ex-husband, and how Jesse James and how he was, so in love with Sandra Bullock, and who cares about movie stars, but here we are at the Oscars, and isn't she great? And she goes up, gets the Oscar, says how he has her back, but he had a lot of backs besides hers. And I think she was stunned by that. And he did the mea culpa thing, and I didn't think his was sincere either. I mean, he knew it was just he had to do it. Oh, I'm so sorry, and she's my life, and blah, 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 blah. And then, boom, he's already on, and he's to somebody else, and he's engaged, and there was somebody even in between. So this is commonplace, whether it's publicists or aides or whoever it is. I think it's whatever the posse sometimes tells these people to do. Now, having said that, can you fool the American people? You know, can we see through the fake and the phony or the heartfelt when someone's just been leveled? And, hey, we're all human, so, geez, I screwed up. I think you can. I think we can see through that. I don't know. What do you think? Worst mea culpa of all time. Oh, I got a few of them. Sports, too. Some sports people would fall into that. 800-259-5791. I'll tell you one of the worst sports ones. Deion Sanders. Mr. Show and Tell, you know, the whole thing. He got it. He got how to make money because he did the primetime deal and, you know, he knew how to win over the crowds. And, of course, he was at one point just an incredible corner. So he did, he could back up all the showboating stuff. But on the family side, that's when he came out and he said that he found God and he was a fornicator. And that, boy, that was like the quote heard round the world. And I felt like that was kind of a trumped up deal. Now, hey, different times, new wife, onto a different situation. But I think when he did that, it didn't feel real to me. That's another thing to reach for, the religion. Okay, so how do I get people to believe me? I'm going to say I found God. I'm going to say I found God in prison, and I'm a new person. I'm coming out, and I'm starting a new company, and I want you to buy my stuff. Even though I tanked the one company and the stock and the pensions, but I'm here to tell you I'm back, and I'm a new person. I'm a new person. Uh-huh. Sure. All right, coming up on America Tonight, we have odds and ends, because after all, besides Ensign's plea to be forgiven after months of, I think, debating whether or not he was going to try to fight it out, besides that, there are a few other things that are going on, like Libya. What's going on with Muammar Gaddafi, and what about the airspace above Libya? Also, more in Guantanamo and the military in Afghanistan. Robert Gates, the defense secretary, just back from a couple of days in Afghanistan. Well, actually, he's on his way back from a couple of days in Afghanistan, saying that, hey, you know, 2014, that's not enough. We're going to still be there after 2014. I think that's pretty big news because of some of the other things that are happening. That gets lost in the sauce, but that's huge. That means you know someone in the military. We're talking about deployment, deployment, deployment. If it's going to be after 2014, there's not going to be a big drawdown of those troops. We're kicking the can. Hang with us. More to come here on ATN.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural, built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Hi, my name is Stephen Huer. As a degreed nutritionist, my first priority is for you to get healthy. That won't happen if I make wrong recommendations or cause you to spend money on supplements you don't need. After 20 years working with thousands of products and thousands of people, I know, for the most part, what does and does not work. One World Whey is the first and only unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. It retains substances that no other whey protein powder has. These nutritive compounds supply life-giving nutrition. Your body merely needs the right conditions to make great health happen. Due to low-quality foods, toxicity, and aging, having great health is more of an effort than ever. One World Whey is the superfood of the century, and when added to your diet, it promotes energy, detoxification, muscle gains, fat loss, and overall radiant health. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's One World, WHEY.com.
Of all time might actually be Governor Stanford of South Carolina, because that whole icky story about him hiking in the Appalachian Trail and actually he was in South America hooking up with his hot girlfriend, and the story just unraveling by the minute, and some of the crazy news conferences he had. I mean, eventually they weren't as sincere. I think it was like, wow, you just got to say something and you got to talk about whatever. But then at the end, I think he was sincere, because then it was like, okay, well, this is it. I mean, hey, all the pieces are in place. The most insincere though of all time has to be John Edwards. There's a guy, I want to talk about a weasel. He might as well have weasel stamped on his forehead. A guy who runs for president, so many people swoon over him. Oh, he helps the poor. Oh, this just wasn't his year to run, because there's too many others that could leapfrog him. But, boy, we really like John Edwards. He's just such a good guy. And, boy, he's been with Elizabeth Edwards and this battle then that she starts to wage and cancer. And, wow, and he's incredible. Yeah. so incredible, in fact, that he's very close to getting nailed for using PAC money to pay a videographer who he was ended up sleeping with and having a child with. Yeah. And his were definitely forced because he was so bad. He was such a weasel. He tried to get his aide to take the fall for him and say it was the baby was his child. And so that might actually be the worst. That might be the worst one of the last couple of years. And I'm sure I'm missing some of the sports people in between and some of the other financial people. But the financial people usually don't say much. I think they're just so arrogant and just, I think, astonished that they've been caught, that they just get into the courtroom and don't say very much, get in and out of the cars. Even Bernie Madoff, who was unraveled, I mean, they definitely were going to get him, even though he cops to everything. He didn't have much to say. Now, of course, he wants to tell everybody how there are people worse than him and, you know, let me give you this jailhouse interview and here's what's really the truth is and my family didn't know and all this other sort of stuff. But Madoff, there's a guy who had, there was no mea culpa. I don't think he cared. I mean, really, that guy could care less what happened. And the people that were in the courtroom with Bernie Madoff, they were waiting for that. They were ready to pounce on him, and they wanted that mea culpa. They wanted the tears, and, oh, my God, I don't know what I was thinking, and I just got carried away, and I thought I could make the money back. Nothing. They didn't get that whatsoever. So if you have any thoughts on this, you can send them to me at americatonight.net or jingle these digits as we bounce around on the overnight highway, 800-259-5791. All right, let's jump back to the restart of the Guantanamo trials. Boy, what an about-face this is for this administration. I guarantee this was a bitter pill for the president to swallow. This is not at all what was promised on the campaign trail. I don't think he wanted this to happen in any way, shape, or form, but realized that the headache was getting bigger. And Congress would have to approve to shut down Gitmo, move the detainees that were left to the U.S., probably. Might have been in Illinois. They were talking about a prison there and pumping money into that and redoing that facility. It became a huge nightmare, especially with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and Tweedledee, Tweedledum, and his distant cousins all connected to 9/11, and the idea that they could be tried in New York and what a public relations nightmare the suggestion of that became, and then that was suddenly shelved. So you knew after it happened, they're gonna keep Gitmo open. There's no way around this. They're gonna keep it open. But that is a big, big about face and a huge, I think it's a huge hit for the president because it was pounded on constantly. Remember the whole waterboarding thing and the Bush administration and what did they do and what were they doing there? And this is inhumane and the world hates us and we're no better than half of the others that torture in the world. And how can we do this? And oh, I can still see that. Nasty headlines. So clearly this is a reluctant move, but the reality is Congress is not going to vote to try detainees in our country because we don't want it. How many people want it? Not enough people want it. The people who want jobs in that small town in Illinois where it would help them, it would help their economy. I mean, that's the sad part because, you know, they start to get excited thinking it's coming, it's going to happen. And then that gets pumped around, and they're excited about it because, man, we got nothing. This is perfect. We need these jobs. And there was never a chance of that happening because there was no way Congress, one, is going to approve that kind of money when we already have Gitmo. How much did we pay for Guantanamo? So in the end, the president has to swallow his pride and has to go for the military tribunals in Cuba. I mean, this was like almost an ironclad promise. I guarantee there were some huge arguments happening in the White House over this, in the Oval Office, for sure. I mean, there was a lot of back and forth, because if there was a way around this, they would have taken the way around this, and there wasn't a way around this. And what's interesting is now with this new order to go ahead, come on, let's go, let's get this done, moving forward, that means that the supposed mastermind of the bombing, remember that horrific bombing of the USS Cole all these years later, this guy now, who's been at Gitmo since 2006, will definitely be one of the first trotted out, you know, tried. So probably there are around, give or take, about 170 people that are being held at Gitmo. About 80 will actually have a trial by the military commission. How about that? And this was inevitable. When the New York thing fell apart, when people were enraged, they heard the possibility of any of them coming to the United States. And then plus the money thing, the approval thing, you knew that this was going to happen. So now the Republicans are saying bravo to the president. Although he doesn't want that attention. Yeah, no thanks. Bipartisan cooperation, not on this one. I don't want to hear about this one. Let's not go there. Let's not talk about it. Afghanistan. We talked about this on a previous show. I said, what do you think, Afghanistan? Scale of 1 to 10, how do you think we're doing? What do you think happens in Afghanistan? And the answer is clearly, I think the Taliban is winning the war based on some of the people that we've actually had on the show. And I respect the troops, and the sacrifices are just beyond what any of us can know. And I would love to see ultimately troops leaving Afghanistan saying, wow, we did it, we wiped them out. And so maybe more will crop up, but whatever. 1,500 Taliban, poof, gone, decimated. We cut off the head of the snake and the body and the tail. And so forget all these people who say, well, once you cut off just the one part, somebody else is going to crop up. Okay, maybe they will. But we annihilated any of the bad guys over there. So at least for now, that's not happening. I'm sure it was very tough for Robert Gates, who teared up. I mean, really teared up when he was talking to the military people that he addressed in Afghanistan, because he realizes, he knows, he gets the letters, he talks to the people, he realizes the sacrifice. I mean, forget all the money and the budget and what are we doing. That's a huge part of it. But I think he really wrestles with the human life thing, and it's very, very tough for Gates. And he said this speculation is over about 2014, pretty much, that there's just no way this is going to be done. It's not going to be wrapped up. So that means that those that are being deployed, either they're staying longer or there'll be more redeployments or however they end up doing it. But the military is not going to come out of there in great numbers anytime soon.